chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you say it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Rest make to have in the middle of it. Rest make to have in the middle. We are rest make to have.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We've got a lot going on this week. Even in Texas, we've got the Paxton, there was a vote just this afternoon in the Texas House and to impeach Attorney General Paxton. So that did go over, and so that procedure is starting in Texas. Well, this is Owen Stroyer, and he's up first here tonight, and he's talking about the big conflict between the two different movements and how they really are working against each other, and how is this going to work out. So here we go with Owen.
Bombshell documents reveal Biden DHS wants to paint Christians, conservatives as Nazis and terrorists. The Federalist. State-funded University of Texas managed censorship project targeting conservative outlets. It also is going on at University of Dayton. We have this. University of Dayton is one of the most radical grant recipients for the program, receiving $352,000 to fight domestic violent extremism and hate movements, which it's none of the above. It's just anything that's to the right on the political spectrum or anything considered Christian or conservative. Biden's DHS awarded the grant despite their application, including the fallacious chart that you see here in front of you. So it's all lies. It's all propaganda. It's all the left. Historically speaking, folks, it's the left. And it's just amazing. It's just amazing because how many people died in the 20th century fighting the ideals, the values, the political practices that comes with the left-wing political ideology? Communism, socialism, millions died. Millions died in wars, and millions died in starvation and famine. I thought we learned that lesson in the 20th century. I thought we learned that lesson. I thought it was solidified, especially into our DNA in the Western Hemisphere, in the United States of America, in North America. We don't do communism. We don't do socialism. We don't do left-wing bullcrap. It ends in bloodshed and starvation and death. We defeated it. And we said, no more. And we celebrated that. And now here you are in the 21st century, and you're going to have to deal with it on your own soil. The unstoppable force meeting the immovable object, the unstoppable force being the awakening of the planet, the citizens of this planet, the citizens of the United States of America, all the lies we've been told, all the corruption we've been forced to endure. The awakening is on, but the immovable object being the globalists, as we call them, the one world corporate government, the World Health Organization, the UN, the U.S. government, and its agents committed to collapsing the U.S. into a one world government. You see it with the open borders. You see it with the Biden administration saying, yes, the World Health Organization can have a say over health protocols in the country. So it's the unstoppable force, the awakening of humanity, versus the immovable object, the plan to enslave humanity and conquer the planet. That's the epic that we are in. And so everything you will see today is a result of that paradigm, of that phenomenon being revealed in real time. Now, there's an old saying. I hate to say I told you so. And it kind of has a new meaning to me when I see stuff like this. The Heritage Foundation has exposed that the DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, has an anti-terrorism program that's been weaponized against conservatives. 80 grants, 40 million taxpayer dollars later, and here's a look at how Joe Biden and Secretary Mayorkas are outsourcing their efforts to conflate conservatives with terrorists. And so it's an I hate to say I told you so moment. And I thought I liked being right all the time. I hate being right about this. I hate that we were totally right, that InfoWars is totally vindicated, that the U.S. government is being weaponized against you. And, of course, they even have InfoWars on this list, as well as other groups like Breitbart. But then there's the old twist. There's the old lie, as they have a bunch of Nazi symbolism, Nazi logos. Some of them are which still are embraced by the Ukrainian armies in eastern Ukraine, like the Azov Battalion, the Black Sun logo, and so much more. But it's frustrating. Those are leftists. Socialism is a leftist ideology. Why do I still have to sit here as an anti-socialist and respond to labels that somehow Nazism is a right-wing value? It's not. Socialism is a left-wing value. The National Socialist Workers' Party of Adolf Hitler were the National Socialist Workers' Party. Does that sound like right-wing or left-wing to you? Socialism is a left-wing ideology, but of course they put that at the top of the pyramid of far-right radicalization. So they take the worst of what the left is, with the murderous, blood-drenched, socialist, communist regimes of the 20th century, they take the worst of what the left has to represent, and they say, nope, that's you on the right. No, it is actually us on the right that defeated the Nazis. See? Here we are on this Friday, May 26, 2023 edition of the Alex Jones Show. Owen Schroyer broadcasting live from the InfoWars World Headquarters in Austin, Texas. Still on the air. Thank you, God. Thank you to the audience. We are still here fighting tyranny every day, fighting the fake news, the lies, the propaganda aimed against you, targeted at you. They thought we'd be off air by now. They thought they could silence us by now, but they haven't. So now they've ratcheted up with the U.S. government and the American left. They have ratcheted up their attacks on the U.S. citizens. They have ratcheted up their political persecution. They're at a bit of a stalemate on the censorship issue right now with Elon Musk taking over Twitter. But believe me, as we get closer to the 2024 election, ladies and gentlemen, I believe the political persecution will be ramped up and the censorship will be ramped up. This time, I think the American citizens are more aware of what to be ready for, what to be cautious of. And if they start rolling out the censorship again and the political persecution again, they will just continue to further expose themselves as the evildoers in this country, that being the corruption at the FBI, at the DOJ, the Biden administration, and everything else down the line.
Up next is Dr. David Martin addressing the European Union And what he has to say is bombastic. And this is an example of what Owen was saying just in the previous clip about these movements coming up against each other and beginning to struggle against one another. And we are awakening the population of the world. I just hope it wakes up in time. But here we go with Dr. David Martin addressing the European Union and what he had to say about the vaccine.
Dr. David Martin was recently a guest at the European Union and laid out the timeline for the biggest democide in recorded history. You can see the full video on band.video. This is my short edit.
Coronavirus was identified in 1965 as one of the first infectious replicatable viral models that could be used to modify a series of other experiences of the human condition. What's particularly interesting about its isolation in 1965 was that it was immediately identified as a pathogen that could be used and modified for a whole host of reasons. In 1966, the very first COV coronavirus model was used as a transatlantic biological experiment in human manipulation. And in 1967, we did the first human trials on inoculating people with modified coronavirus. The common cold was turned into a chimera in the 1970s. And in 1975, 1976, and 1977, we started figuring out how to modify coronavirus by putting it into different animals, pigs, and dogs, and that became the basis for Pfizer's first spike protein vaccine patent filed, are you ready for this, in 1990. And in 1990, they found out that there was a problem with vaccines. They didn't work. It turns out that coronavirus is a very malleable model. It transforms and it changes and it mutates over time. As a matter of fact, every publication on vaccines for coronavirus from 1990 until 2018, every single publication concluded that coronavirus escapes the vaccine impulse. In 2002, the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, patented, and I quote, an infectious replication defective clone of coronavirus. And that work, patented at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, mysteriously preceded SARS 1.0 by a year. In 2005, this particular pathogen was specifically labeled as a bioterrorism and bioweapon platform technology. And from 2005 onwards, it was actually a biowarfare enabling agent, its official classification. We have been lured into believing that EcoHealth Alliance and DARPA and all of these organizations are what we should be pointing to, but we've been specifically requested to ignore the facts that over $10 billion have been funneled through black operations through the check of Anthony Fauci and a side-by-side ledger where NIAID has a balance sheet and next to it is a biodefense balance sheet equivalent dollar-for-dollar matching that no one in the media talks about. Poised for human emergence in 2016 at the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, such that by the time we get to 2017 and 2018, the following phrase entered into common parlance among the community. There is going to be an accidental or intentional release of a respiratory pathogen. 7 months before the allegation of patient number one, 4 patent applications of Moderna were modified to include the term accidental or intentional release of a respiratory pathogen as the justification for making a vaccine for a thing that did not exist. The intent was to get the world to accept a universal vaccine template, and the intent was to use coronavirus to get there. This was premeditated domestic terrorism stated at the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences in 2015. Does that sound like a bat and a pangolin went into a bar in the Wuhan market? This is an act of biological and chemical warfare perpetrated on the human race.
See the full video at band.video. On this Memorial Day weekend, let us remember our friends and family that we've lost in this war against we the people being waged by our own government. And let us never rest until there is justice. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
What overwhelming statements are that by Dr. David Martin at the European Union? But also, here's what Mike Adams has to say about cognitive damage that he believes that these vaccines have created. And I'm going to put up on my site the number of unruly passengers on airlines, and I believe that the unruly passengers, you can attribute most of those to the vaccine. And Mike Adams says in this clip coming up next about the cognitive damage that he believes that these vaccines have done. So here we go with Mike Adams.
I have a question for you. Are you noticing this, just how much cognitive damage has been caused by the vaccines? Are you seeing this too? Because in the world around me, I mean, going out in public and interacting with people, just, you know, bankers or retail workers or whatever, have you noticed that people are more dumbed down than ever before? It's astonishing. And I told this true story once before, but it's worth repeating here. It's right on point, where a member of my family was trying to settle up a bill at a doctor's office, a medical bill, and the receptionist behind the desk said, you know, your total is $398. And then my family member gave this receptionist $400. You know, just four $100 bills. Here you go. The receptionist could not figure out how much change to give back, right? So 400 minus 398, not complex math. She couldn't figure it out. She grabbed a calculator and 30 seconds later gave up on the calculator, right? Because even entering a subtraction problem into a calculator is too complex for many of today's young minds that have been, of course, vaccine damaged. And at one level, it's easy to laugh and mock at these people, but in a more serious level, they are victims. They've been made, frankly, cognitively retarded by the vaccine. And being that they are cognitively retarded, i.e. their brain function has been retarded or damaged or suppressed by the vaccine, the thing is, these people don't know how cognitively impaired they are. They have no understanding of it. They have no self-awareness. Because one of the things about being cognitively impaired is that your self-assessment cognitive capability is also impaired. So you do not have necessarily the self-awareness. And just by and large, by the way, I guess it's human nature, but everybody tends to think that they're always right about everything. Even if they're complete idiots or have bad information or just been brainwashed or whatever, they always think they're right. Even if there's no real internal justification for that, you know, no objective justification for it. So another simple way to say this, it might be kind of condescending, is that stupid people don't know they're stupid. Stupid people don't know they're stupid. And yet they interact in society as if they're experts in everything, right? And they vote. Don't forget that they vote. You know, don't forget that they may be sitting on your city council, and probably are, by the way. Don't forget that this cognitively damaged person may be your healthcare provider, right? Or your banker, or your investment advisor, or your school counselor for your kid, or whatever. These people are everywhere. And it just shows how, quote, successful but malicious the vaccine agenda has been in tearing down society, because it tore down cognition in some very significant portion of the population, rendering them cognitively incapable of functioning in society. So as a result of that, how does democracy function, right? How do you actually inform people on issues that matter? And that also answers the question that people are so dumbed down that they believe the media brainwashing. So when the media pretends that the Joe Biden family hasn't received millions of dollars in bribes and kickbacks from China and Ukraine and so on, well, the average American just has no idea that any of that happened, and they operate as if Joe Biden is, you know, some sort of saint or something, which is an absurd idea all by itself. But when people are dumbed down or damaged and they have bad information, that combination is really fatal for a society, a so-called free society. Because the people voting are themselves brain damaged. You know, in many cases, not in every case, but obviously in many cases. And when you get to some majority of the country that is either brainwashed or brain damaged, then you're in real trouble. And I think we're there. I think that over 50% of the American people are either brainwashed or brain damaged to where they are not cognitively operating in reality. They're not living in the real world. They're not processing information of what's happening in the world around them. And that's why they're surprised by everything, by the way. Oh, your money's losing value. Oh my gosh, it's such a surprise. Or they go to the grocery store. I'm so surprised that food is so expensive. Really? Why are you surprised? Oh, because you don't have any knowledge about what's happening with money printing and inflation and the food supply chain and so on. If you don't know what's happening, you're surprised by everything. And that explains the cognitive position of, you know, probably, I think, right now, over 50% of the American citizens. It's very sad that that's the case, but, you know, here we are. And then the FDA comes along and puts out a video claiming that you need to beware of disinformation. I mean, seriously, the FDA, the most disinfo-enriched government agency that you can imagine that just pushes lies and is an extension of Big Pharma. You know, the FDA, at least the drug division, is just steeped in lies and fraud and corruption. And yet they claim that you don't want to listen to anybody other than the FDA or you might get bad information. That's their claim. And you'd have to be incredibly stupid to believe that, right? But some people do. Some people do. You notice that the more dumbed down people are, the more they believe in authority. Have you noticed that relationship? Whereas highly intelligent people, they question authority. It's actually a measure of IQ to distrust, quote, official sources. So if somebody believes the New York Times, they're technically an idiot. If they believe the FDA, they're an idiot. If they question the New York Times, if they question reality, if they question mainstream media, question government, quote, officials, that is a sign of a high functioning IQ, someone who can navigate this world without being steamrolled by all the lies. And so I'm just glad to be able to connect with you. You listening to this, you're obviously a high IQ, high information individual. You are able to navigate the world. And I just wonder if you share if you're experiencing what I'm experiencing, which is noticing how many people are brain damaged in society around us right now. Keep on the lookout for it because the vaccines have really taken a toll. Sad to say, but it's true. Thanks for listening. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com and brighteon.com.
Like I said before this clip here, I'm going to put up a list from the FAA of the unruly. There was almost 5,000 in 2020-21. It slackened off. It went down to about half of that in 2022. In 2023, it's running at about 700 so far this first 5 months, I believe. About 130 a month average, which will come out to not 1,600 for the year if you extrapolate that out like that. But Dr. Martin Weiss, Weiss Bank Ratings, is coming up. I'll have a click off on my site. Come into thesecrettruth.com, and you'll be able to pick up that click off and go to his site. He does bank ratings, rankings, you could say, by, the financial stability and strength and so forth. And he's really insightful. And then I'm going to follow that by a whistleblower that Glenn Beck was reporting on. But anyway, coming up next is Dr. Martin Weiss, and he has some very important, scary things to say about this upcoming, Federal Reserve digital currency and tracking and so forth. But here we go with Dr. Martin Weiss.
Now, here's Dr. Martin Weiss.
Imagine a government agent gets assigned to snoop through your bank account. to see if your transactions are considered a threat to the government's agenda. If that idea sickens you, and if you think it won't be a real possibility starting just a few months from today, then pay attention to what I reveal now. Because according to this official document I'm holding in my hand, starting as soon as May 2023, you could wake up one morning, log into your bank account, and stare at a red flashing alert that your account's transactions have been frozen. Your ability to send money and receive money, frozen. Your crime? You didn't commit one. It's all because of the U.S. government's horrifying new program that gives unelected officials the power to closely monitor or even freeze your account based on your behavior and potentially even based on your political views. It starts with this 93-page government document. Its name? Docket number OP-1670. This innocent-sounding document, which was never meant for the general public, exposes how the government could gain the power to strangle your investment savings, to suspend your ability to pay others or get paid, even to punish you with fees and fines, and ultimately seize control over your money. Some of the largest U.S. banks are already joining our central bank, the Federal Reserve, to roll this out as rapidly as possible. There's a good chance your bank is already participating. I'll give you their names in just a moment because there's no stopping this from happening. You don't get a vote. You don't get to opt out. And your money is in danger unless you take four simple steps to protect your savings. The catch is you don't have much time left. We're very close to the day when the government will roll out this new system. They've already been caught red-handed snooping in the private emails and personal family videos of millions of innocent Americans. Now comes the next layer of control, and this time it's for your money. The Federal Reserve has already set a date for when banks will begin handing over this control. It could start as soon as May 2023. So fast forward to a future date and picture this. You see a post on Facebook criticizing politicians for out-of-control inflation. You hit the like button. An hour later, you read a post by a blogger you follow asking for donations. You decide to give him $30 using PayPal. When you click the button to send, a strange error message pops up. You figure the charity just didn't set up their page properly. So you move on and you don't think anything of it. But the next morning, when you log into your bank account, you see this. What the heck? You take fast, shallow breaths and your heart starts thumping quicker as you realize what's going to happen. Your electric bill is due in a few days. Your mortgage payment is set to draft from your account in a week. And you had planned to use your credit or debit card to buy holiday gifts for your grandkids. And now, with your account frozen, you're helpless. As your forehead breaks out in a sweat, you call the number flashing on your bank account screen. Nobody picks up. Instead, you get an automated menu that asks you for your social security number and other sensitive information. You never get to speak to a live person. A robotic voice makes you choose a date for a hearing to get your banking reinstated. The soonest appointment is over a month away. After you hang up, the screen of your frozen bank account still stares at you. How could this have happened? You think back to what you've posted on social media. You remember the charities you've given to, the causes you've supported. You remember that the news has reported more and more men and women are getting canceled by their financial institutions. Why? Did they buy too much gasoline? Did they donate money to the wrong candidate? No one seems to know for sure. But somehow, whenever you thought about protecting your savings from their control, you just shrugged your shoulders and figured you'd get around it. Now that your account's frozen and it's not coming back for weeks, you start to wonder, what's going to happen next? Will the electric company send out a warning notice? Or maybe they'll just shut your power off? And what about your mortgage? How long before you start getting warnings about that? How are you going to explain to your spouse that you need to stop all spending from your checking account? You can't write checks. You can't pay off credit cards. Now, this might sound like a nightmare straight out of a dystopian novel, but as you'll see in just a couple of minutes, millions of innocent American citizens have been spied upon by the government. Quite a few have also had their accounts suspended. In fact, government confiscation of personal assets has happened a lot more frequently than most people realize, right here in America. So, government surveillance and manipulation of financial transactions would not be entirely new. It would simply be the next step in a very disturbing pattern. And the Federal Reserve's docket number OP-1670 shows how that would work. The document maps out how a small group of unelected government officials will soon gain access to all your financial transactions. And we know from years of experience that government access to all your data is just one step away from the government's power to control everything that data tells them about who you are and what you do. They'd have the power to watch how you invest your money and restrict the amount you invest in companies that are not compliant with environmental, social, and governance standards. They'd have the power to limit your purchases of fossil fuels, including gas at the pump. They'd have the power to restrict your contributions to certain causes or political parties. They'd have the power to pressure folks of all ages to get government-mandated vaccinations, or worse. If you find this hard to believe, just consider what our government has already done. In 2013, the National Security Agency, the NSA, illegally collected the phone records of millions of American citizens, not just once, but for over 5 years. They spied on millions of people who were never suspected of any wrongdoing whatsoever. And that's not all. The NSA and the FBI colluded with America's biggest tech companies to spy on nearly everything you could do online. It's all revealed in this slide from a top-secret PowerPoint presentation that the NSA and the FBI used to train their agents. Look at the left column. These are the so-called providers, the companies that provided your private data to the government. Microsoft, Google, Yahoo, Facebook, YouTube, Skype, AOL, Apple, and others. And see this list in the right column? These are your private activities that the government agents could search and spy on at any time, whether live or recorded. Your chats, your videos, your photos, your stored data, any file you've ever sent, all the websites you visited, and details about your friends, too. This was under the Obama administration.
Boy, it's getting scary. You're talking about a national security state. We already have it. Anyway, coming up next is Glenn Beck talking about the recent whistleblower. And then he's got some other key issues and topics in there also. And it's just, God, I mean, I hate to put this stuff up because it's so horrible and it sounds so bad, and it is bad. But we've got to face up to what's going on and try to overcome this. But anyway, here we go with Glenn Beck.
Speaking to CBS News, the IRS whistleblower revealed himself. Now, this just happened. This is a new guy since Monday. Okay, has revealed himself as a supervisory special agent, Gary Shapley. He is part of the IRS's Criminal Investigations Department. He is a 14-year veteran at the agency and currently oversees a 12-man team that specializes in international tax and financial crimes. He told CBS News that he began documenting his concerns about the Hunter Biden investigation in June 2020, 5 months after being assigned the sensitive investigation. There were multiple steps that kept being slow-walked. They were just completely not done, and it was happening at the direction of the Department of Justice. When I took control of this particular investigation, I immediately saw deviations from the normal process. It was way outside the norm of what I've experienced in the past. So this is his first interview. He sits down with CBS, and they take him seriously and treat him seriously. He said each and every time it seemed to always benefit the subject. And I got to the point where that switch was turned on with me, and I couldn't stay silent anymore. So we now know we have the IRS, along with the Department of Justice, doing all kinds of things that they shouldn't be doing on the Hunter Biden front. But it's not just Hunter Biden. IRS investigation into Matt Taibbi. Here's the latest on that. On Wednesday, yesterday, the House Judiciary Committee sent a letter to the IRS commissioner demanding all documents and communications related to the agency's decision to launch an investigation into Matt Taibbi. Now, who's Matt Taibbi? Matt Taibbi is a journalist. He's always been kind of a left kind of guy, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And he has, you know, been red-pilled, and he's not a conservative. He's just telling the truth, and he's being a journalist. He is the guy that really tried to make sense of the Twitter files. He was one of the leaders on that. According to the letter, the IRS's inquiry was initiated December 24th, 2022. That is the same day that Taibbi released the report detailing the collusion between Twitter and the federal government.
Subtle, guys.
Yeah, very subtle. Well, it was not only on the same day. It was December 24th. So it was Christmas Eve. I don't know about you, but there's not a lot of work going on Christmas Eve. But the IRS are busting their ass, okay? December 24th. And it was a Saturday. So somebody was burning the midnight. It might have been Bob Cratchit because he was afraid and he wanted the extra scuttle of coal from the IRS. So the documents passed on to Twitter by the FBI-led Foreign Influence Task Force, Taibbi revealed Twitter was receiving content recommendations, blah, blah, blah. Joe Biden and the energy company Burisma. The report also showed that Twitter, along with Facebook and dozens of other tech-related firms, regularly attended FITF-led gatherings where companies often received an OGA briefing. What is an OGA briefing? That is a euphemism for intelligence services in general, in particular the CIA. So, the IRS has said, yes, we sent the letter on the 24th, okay? And that was 9 days after he filed his 2018 tax return. But they said, we called him over and over again to verify his return because it met identity theft criteria, and we couldn't process it. 9 days after they get this return to them, 9 days on Christmas Eve, on a Saturday, the IRS is like, we just can't wait any longer. We can't do it. We've got to process this because we're concerned about him. This IRS form looks like it might have been identity theft. So he says they never reached out to call them, they said, we did it twice, and then we just had to send agents over. These guys are bending over backwards.
It's really nice of them to spend all that individual time on one person like that.
Nice. Now, the tactics in which they used, apparently now we know, to dig up any dirt they could find on Taibbi, the agent assigned from the IRS was instructed to perform an extensive investigation, which included using publicly available search engines, commercial investigative software, consumer affairs, LexisNexis, and Google. The documents provided to the committee also purportedly show the agency kept a dossier on Taibbi, including information such as his phone number, voter registration records, whether he had a concealed weapons permit, and whether he had hunting or fishing licenses. I don't know. That seems like maybe they weren't concerned about identity fraud. So you have now two cases of the IRS just today that I can report on. Now, the FBI has just demanded answers The Republicans have just demanded answers from the FBI on the January 6th pipe bomb investigation. Andy Biggs, Jim Jordan, and Bill Posey wrote to the FBI and Director Wray saying, "We have been asking for an update on the pipe bomber. We have witnesses or we have whistleblowers that are saying you ain't doing jack on this. In fact, the whistleblower testimony on the investigation on the unusual character, including one disclosure that revealed that the Washington field office asked the FBI field offices to canvass all confidential human source nationwide for information about the individual that might have put the pipe bomb out a year after they laid the bomb. Now, you would think that this would be something they were all on top of, but they waited a year. Still no motive, still nothing. A former FBI assistant director said they should have yielded some results by this point, but gosh darn it, they just can't find it. Now, couple it with this last story, and tell me you've seen anything like these stories so far. Okay, I've seen people in the Tea Party targeted during the Obama administration. Before that, I had never seen it before in my life. Okay? So I had seen that. Got it. I have not seen the Justice Department go in and stop an investigation by the IRS. That's totally new. I have not seen anything like what the FBI has been doing lately, and the pipe bomb and the January 6th, and they can't find the people who are burning churches, but gosh darn it, they can find those peoples that have violated the FACE Act. Now this one. The alleged neo-Nazi accused of ramming a rented U-Haul truck into the White House security barriers is being held in federal jail pending a detention hearing next week. Sai Kandula, 19, not an American citizen, I believe from India. He appeared in federal court yesterday. He is from Missouri. If you don't know this story, it is bizarre. He slammed a box truck. Now, a box truck, it was either a Ryder or a U-Haul, and clearly marked, it's a moving truck. Now, when I think of somebody going after a federal building in a moving truck, especially with the information that the FBI knows that 60,000 tons of ammonium nitrate have just disappeared from the railway. Have you heard that story? 60,000 tons, it's on the loose, and somebody pulls a giant U-Haul van and is trying to break through the fences of the White House and get close to the White House. As a police officer, investigator, Secret Service, what is your first thought? There's fertilizer in the back of that U-Haul truck. Okay? That, when I saw the U-Haul truck, that was the first thing I thought of was Timothy McVeigh. Okay? And I know that 60,000 tons of that fertilizer has just gone missing. Okay, so he slammed it into the barriers along Lafayette Square. He allegedly has planned this attack for 6 months. We know because of his writing, has been released, can't get anything from Nashville, but this guy, he had to get to the White House, seize power, and be put in charge of the nation. So immediately I think the guy has mental problems. He was accused of threatening to kill the president if that's what I have to do. He praised Hitler and Nazism. He is not a white guy. He was originally charged with threatening to kill, kidnap, or inflict harm on the president, vice president, or family members, as well as an assault with a dangerous weapon, reckless operation of a motor vehicle, trespassing, and destruction of federal property. That's what he was charged with. Does all of that make sense so far? Okay, I can't place the Nazi flag. And the other thing that bothered me was the fact that if I am in charge of the White House and I have access to all of this information, if Glenn Beck knows that 60,000 tons of ammonium nitrate is missing, and I see that Ryder truck or that U-Haul truck, I immediately say, get the hell away from that truck, back everybody out. Back, get everyone out of Lafayette Square. Now, we have seen pictures of what happens next because they only backed people up a little bit. And this is where it really gets hinky. We'll talk about it in 60 seconds. So my first question is, the park police that are guarding Lafayette Square and the Secret Service, the White House, everybody involved in protecting the White House, they see this truck. They got a guy who's pulled out a Nazi flag out of his backpack. They put him to the ground. Then they display the Nazi flag. Never seen that before. They lay it out nicely on the ground because they've only backed the people up a little bit, so people are taking pictures of it. Then what do you think would be done with that truck? I would think you would call the bomb squad and you would say, get to the White House. We have a truck. There may be a bomb in it. And you would have video of that little robot coming to open that door, right? And you probably wouldn't have video except from the robot because you would have moved people out at least a block away. They didn't do that. Instead, they just open up the door. And then they start rifling through stuff and taking stuff out and putting it out almost like you do when you've confiscated drugs so the media can come in and take pictures of it. They lay it out. I've never seen that before. Never seen that before. Okay. So we either have out of control police that are working for the safety of our president who should not be there. Because what the hell are you doing? Why are you up? Where was the bomb squad? But then it gets really weird. Yesterday, the DOJ takes his charges, remember, charged with threatening to kill, kidnap, or inflict harm on a president, vice president, or family member, as well as assault with a dangerous weapon, reckless operation of a motor vehicle, trespassing and destruction of federal property. He planned it for 6 months. They downgraded his federal charges to a single count of destruction of federal property. Can somebody help me with that? They have been trying to put people who are extremists, white nationalists, they say, extremists. Here's a guy. He's not white, but he has a Nazi flag. He loves Hitler. He said he's going to kill the president. He actually takes a truck and tries to get it close to the White House, and you're only charging him? Didn't you put grandma in prison for the rest of her life for parading? You're going to charge him with destruction of property? Now, I'm not alleging anything because it could just be this is a POC thing. Oh, he's a person of color. He's a minority. He shouldn't be charged. I don't know. It could be that. Everybody in Washington is on drugs. They're zombie robots. I don't know. But this isn't right. Something is wrong. And I think all of these stories tie into the same thing. The same thing. You cannot have a justice system and Capitol Police who have been weaponized, who had this guy planning for 6 months to kill the president, and they let him go on a destruction of property crime when you're putting everyone in jail that you can find claiming they're a white supremacist. You can't have it both ways. What the hell is going on?
What the hell is going on in this world and in this country? We're going to end up with Jay Dyer. He's going to talk about Turning Point, and it's a book, a very good book. But thank you for listening. God bless each and every one of you. And let's just try to keep struggling and trying to do what's right. Thank you and good night.
Welcome back to the Jim Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. We're covering Friedolf Kapper's book, The Turning Point, Science, Society, and Culture. And what does he mean by turning point? What does he mean by this juncture where everything now can shift away from the era of the Enlightenment and individualism into a new reconstructed collectivism? Just like an alchemy, you have the process of dissolving and breaking down, and you have the phase of then recoagulating and bringing it back into a new whole. That's essentially what he's talking about, and he actually goes into citing some of the mystical Eastern texts. He cites the I Ching, and he says that this time of decay of the last several centuries of male phallic dominance and colonialism and this kind of stuff, this will go away because now we're at the turning point. He's appropriating the quote, I'm saying, to mean this, where there will be a new movement. This new movement will arise spontaneously, naturally, resulting in the transformation of the old. Change, hope and change. Change, 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 transformation, turning point, change. Always slogan, slogan, slogan. Never any real clear analysis of, is it always good to change? There's the assumption that change itself is good. Well, can't we change for the worse? Why is change itself necessarily a good thing? And he says, well, let's explain why things are changing and what direction we're going. And he begins the book by saying that we're in a period of crisis, and crisis leads to transformation. And the crisis is always the crisis that the global elite have either fostered, invented, or have made up. The crisis is overpopulation. The crisis is nukes. Nuclear war. The crisis is the environment being destroyed. The A-bomb. But at the same time, when you read Bertrand Russell, for example, he says he takes credit. The elite invented all these things. We created all these things. We're so smart. And by the way, you're guilty. It's your fault that we have these world-destroying weapons and dangerous to the environment. So we got to get rid of everybody. That's the logic here. Now, he mentions a few things that are also, again, actual dangers. He says that, for example, the military-industrial complex has arisen as a frightful power. But do you not realize that the military-industrial complex is actually behind the push for the Aquarian conspiracy? That's who's behind this. Stanford Research, Wallace Harmon, Changing Images of Man. Stanford Research is part of the establishment military-industrial complex. He says, yeah, but the ecology, the systems of ecology are now destroyed by air pollution and global climate change. He says that look at GMOs, genetic modification. Well, who's behind GMOs? It's not the people that are behind GMOs. It's gigantic multinational corporations like Monsanto, et cetera. But he's saying that we are all collectively guilty because of these ridiculous mad science projects of the mad science elite that run the planet for the Fortune 100 and the international finance elite. He says that, look what just happened in the 1970s. We had an energy crisis, and we have that energy crisis because we're on fossil fuels. And he says that another problem, that the reason we've had this energy crisis, I kid you not, he says, is because of patriarchalism. patriarchy. It just wants to rape nature. It just wants to oppress women. And if we just had more feminism and equality in society, we wouldn't have the military-industrial complex. I mean, this is just ridiculous. Then he goes on to cite actually something that vindicates what we were talking about with Dr. John Coleman was the references to civilizational patterns, Arnold Toynbee and Oswald Spengler. Now, Toynbee was one of the Fabian socialists who talked about these civilizational patterns, and he was a key figure at Wellington House, which was the propaganda outlet of the British Empire, the time of World War I. That would become, eventually, Tavistock. So we know that this is also then a Tavistock-sourcing document, right? And he says, look at the patterns of civilizations, which I do think there are patterns for civilizations. The Book of Daniel describes these patterns with the various empires. Spengler describes these patterns as a life cycle for civilizations. They have a birth, they have a rise, an apogee, and a death, decline. And he cites these cycles of civilizations, and he even gives us diagrams, and this is all from Toynbee and Spengler models, right? Can you see that? Yeah. And he says, well, see, we're in one of those decline collapse. And he says that because we're in a decline collapse, we can now create the new technocratic utopian style civilization. And he even says that we can look at civilization figures talking about this world order who preceded us, who understood the universal rhythms. He says Saint Simon and Herbert Spencer and Hegel saw human civilization in these cultural evolutions and developments. But of course, Saint Simon was an Illuminist, right? And he was actually a Jacobin style hardcore socialist communist. Herbert Spencer, of course, one of the key promoters of evolutionary theory. Hegel, the philosopher who provided the dialectics for Marx. Marx flipped Hegel on his head. But so you can see that he says we got to follow these guys because their evolutionary philosophy, their metaphysics of evolution, proves that everything has changed. Everything is evolving. That's also, by the way, the philosophy of Marx, Lenin, and Trotsky, right? The Marxist philosophy is everything in nature is in dialectical battle. And because nature and evolutionary philosophy show this, that Marxists would utilize survival of the fittest to prove this. And that somehow the species, for example, in the survival of the fittest model, it battles against nature, against death, against whatever, to produce the fitter members of the species for the good of the species. So hence the collectivism, you see. And so he says, as a result of this and the decline of patriarchy, it's time for feminism. It's time for Gaia to balance out things. This is so ridiculous. This is just propaganda. But now you'll notice that this is the kind of person that's cited as if this is a authoritative global figure, right? He's kind of like a Jacques Attali or a great thinker of the elite. But all he's doing is just putting out propaganda that says that, oh, by the way, we just need no fuel, which, by the way, they're shutting down. You understand that they're shutting down cars and automobiles and having a car now as part of this agenda written about in the 1980s as an austerity shutdown model. And the auspices are all fraudulent. Oh, it's all bad for the earth.